You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did, until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
The cream of the crop!
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Neil, and I'm joined in the studio by Ken and Jeff. How's it going, Jeff, specifically?
Pretty good. How are you, Neil?
Good. And Ken, how are you?
I'm a little ticked off that I got second place here.
Well, you did take off your jacket. You said you were a little warm.
Neil. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Matt is not here, but he's in L.A., so he's coming to us over Skype. How are you doing over there, Matt?
That's early.
Very consistent appearances from Matt from L.A.
Right. It's like he would rather be on the show from far away and not have to be in the same room with us.
I don't blame him.
That was 100% the reason. Yeah, people don't work on Sundays out in L.A. We just have brunch, so I don't have to do that till like 11. So
nice. I'm good.
Well, I love that you have a mirror behind you, too, so we can see you at your computer chair, and at least you're wearing pants. So that's good.
He's not wearing pants.
Well, that's up to the to the listeners to decide. They can imagine whichever way they want to go. But we have a special guest in studio with us today. She's a Cruiserweight champion on Patreon, and we appreciate her support. But most of all, she reached out to us on Twitter. She has an awesome radio show and many other things going on, and that's Jill Hopkins. How's it going, Jill?
Hi, Neil. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Good.
Excited.
I'm excited.
I like having people in the studio.
Yes, we're very excited to have you here. You have so many things going on that we want to talk about. So why don't you give us the rundown of all the cool things you're doing?
I host a radio show in Chicago on Vocalo Radio, which is the sister station of WBEZ Radio, which is the NPR affiliate in town. So I get to, you know, play a lot of awesome local music, meet a lot of really interesting people, learn something new every day. I just took over the reins for the new podcast in the making series from WBEZ. So I'll be hosting the Making Beyonce podcast.
Very cool.
That's no pressure, because, you know, that's a really easy fan group to please. It's the Beehive.
The Beehive, yeah.
I'm really excited about that. I play in a couple of, like, rock bands here in town. The most recent one, Whole Lotta Love, it was Halloween not that long ago, and we played the music of Courtney Love and Hole. And
love it.
I live to tell the tale, and I'm really excited to be here with you guys.
She's a Jill of all trades.
Yes, well, she is.
Since you work with WBEZ and NPR, maybe you can tell me, every time I turn on NPR, there's like a 30% chance that Antonio Banderas is doing an interview. I was curious why that might be.
Have you heard his speaking voice?
Yes, I have.
Why wouldn't you want to have that on the radio all the time?
Growing up in Spain, I
when you're stuffed, use plones.
We all just have allergies, so he's there really to help us out.
He must just have endless amount of allergies, and it's just always there.
Poor man.
Just give him some Mucinex. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it, and we can't wait to hear more about the Beyonce podcast. Maybe we'll play a little trailer today, depending on how the game goes. And
we'll see.
Yeah, you can tell us how that goes.
I voiced it, but the people who put it together, I'm sure, would be more than happy to hear it on some other context. It'd
yeah.
Great. No, maybe after the show, she can also teach us some mic discipline.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we would love that.
We'll see. I don't have much myself.
Our very special guest host today is someone who's been on the show a few times. It's United States champion on Patreon, Caitlin Joyce. How's it going, Caitlin?
It's going really well. How are you guys?
Great. Thanks.
We're doing great. We see you're in your Bills jersey today, getting ready for the game against the Browns.
Yep. Hopefully they win. We don't know, because honestly, they could do a Bills thing and not win. But
I feel like both teams playing each other can either do a Browns thing or a Bills thing. So you just hope it's in your favor.
The Bears went in on that this
it's
year
really
too.
Really a toss up.
Yes, exactly.
All the B teams.
You've been up to a lot recently. We talked a little bit about what's going on before we recorded, but you just completed something pretty crazy.
Yeah. So I was actually back in June. It's been a while since I've been on the show. But I did a half Ironman this summer. It's actually, I want to say it's like my fifth one I've done. So I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good with doing distance for a while. Yeah. So I did that this summer, although our swim was canceled because of, bad weather, but at least got to do the bike and the run portion.
Oh, there you go. Well, and last time when you were talking about that, you really inspired me and Jeff because we felt like pieces of shit. You told us how long it was, and we started cycling a lot this summer. So, thank you. I think we both got some endurance, right, Jeff? Jeff?
Yes.
Oh, I thought he was dead.
I will not be cycling.
I'm still tired, even though we haven't done it in a while.
I'll watch you cycle, but I will not cycle. I'll drive next to you in a sweatsuit and
screaming.
Yell, screaming out of a megaphone.
I'll get you like an electric powered bicycle or something.
Okay, I'll do that. That sounds like a deal. Well, Caitlin, thank you for joining us in writing a game today. Is there anything special we should know, or is it a general knowledge game?
Yeah, general knowledge, normal format, nothing special. Yeah, that's it.
All right.
You know who knows a lot about our general format?
I think it's the rules guy. Can we ask him to do it in the tone of Beyonce?
Or Antonio Banderas. Or how about half and half?
Half and half, Beyonce.
The rules of the game are simple.
A Banderas.
Okay, rules guy, please.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into two rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good. Not as congested as we would have liked, yeah. But.
More Flonase.
Yes. Well, Caitlin, it's going to be me and Jill versus Jeff and Ken. Jill, what is our team name?
Oh, we're called Santa's Butter.
Okay. Santa's Butter.
Any particular reason for that, Neil?
Well, I'll let Jill explain it.
So I was in a band called Satan, which I wasn't really sure you could say on the radio.
We'll
and it was this,
it
was this all girl band, and we were just like, what will be a name that no one will forget?
Mm-hmm.
And also when they see us play, will make no sense in relation to the name. But so we played a show. There was a couple of the girls in the band were music teachers, and we had to play a show for the kids, and we couldn't figure out what to call ourselves. So Santa's Butter it was, which somehow sounds filthier.
It, yeah.
It's kind of gross.
I think I saw a movie once called
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, Ken. What are you going to be?
Jeff and I are going to be the BFFs,
mm-hmm.
The third F. You can leave to your imagination as to what that stands for.
Ooh, a lot of imagination in this game today. I like it. Well, Caitlin, let's go from imagination to reality, and let's hear these questions. Look at that transition, guys.
It's better if you don't have to call it out.
I know.
He won't cycle, but he will segue.
There you go. Oh, there it is.
Finally, professional around here.
All right, let's get started with a question in the category of food and drink. Nolan Bushnell, a co-founder of Atari, also founded what pizza chain that was founded in 1977?
Hey, reluctant.
Okay, so Jill, you wrote down Pizza Hut.
Yeah, I'm just judging by architecture here. Every Pizza Hut looks like it was built in 1977.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I was trying to think of old pizza places, and I don't even know how old Little Caesars is. So
I don't either.
I think we should just go with Pizza Hut. It's pretty classic. It's very 80s.
Yeah, let's see it.
Okay,
let's book it.
We'll lock in with Pizza Hut.
All right. Well, since the man was into some gaming, we picked a chain named after a game and went with Domino's. That was our full reasoning.
All right, so the answer is actually Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, Charles Entertainment Cheese, of course.
I forgot he was involved in that.
I forgot they had pizza.
Well, is it pizza,
Matt? It's barely called pizza. I really wanted to put air quotes around pizza.
Bring me pizza, mouse.
It is a hot circle of something.
Filth.
Ugh.
The Chuck E. Cheese mouse once applied at my store wearing the full costume. So he had had enough, apparently, and came over to my Starbucks and applied in person.
Is that for real?
That is for real.
Did
that
he have the head on?
No, he's not allowed to take that off. It was the illusion for the children.
Well, the real question is, did you hire him?
No, absolutely not. He was a rat.
That's the most horrifying interview ever.
You gotta worry about those health codes, right?
Exactly.
Sorry, sir. We have a no rat policy.
All right. So question number two is in potent potables. Chambord is a liquor used in cocktails and sometimes in desserts. But what fruit flavor flavors this liquor?
Okay, we're locked in.
I don't know why cherry's on the tip of my tongue. I feel like it's very, French for an alcohol.
I think maybe passion fruit. But
that's
also, I've never
too.
Had just like a standalone passion fruit, so I really know.
How about this?
It's also a dark red color, and I don't think passion fruit is.
Good to know.
I think...
too late.
Let's go. You didn't want to get wrong on the first one. Let's go cherry, and if I'm wrong, then we'll both be over one.
Okay.
All right. We just have never heard of this, so we just guessed orange.
Chambord is flavored, is a raspberry flavored.
Oh, I hate things that are raspberry flavored.
Me too.
And raspberries.
That's why I didn't think of it. Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Is that what's on your desk, Caitlin, that you're drinking right now?
Just a big cup
absolutely,
of it.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. Out of my mug. It's definitely not coffee. It's Chambord.
Just a big
that's
old
what
glass.
I just drink straight. So your third question in the first round is in history. In 1814, allies against Napoleon captured Paris and forced him to abdicate. He was exiled to which island located off the coast of Tuscany?
This is terrible.
We're locked in.
Oh, no. I've written this question two different ways, and I cannot remember it.
She said?
Yeah, there's two answers. He was exiled to an island, and then he lived and died on an island. I think one of them is Helena, and the other one is...
I'm willing to... Go with whatever it is that you want. I have no idea.
This is normally when I say Jeff, just answer, which he did for Ken. And Ken knew this.
False.
Ken knows this one. Ooh, Ken had it. Let's just go Helena. I know it's wrong.
Sure. And
Caitlin can fill us in on what I said wrong. So.
Yeah. So some people know that my favorite book is The Count of Monte Cristo, and the opening acts of Count of Monte Cristo focus on Napoleon being on the island of Elba.
Elba. Oh,
Yep. So the correct answer is Elba.
I believe his second exile was to St. Helena.
Okay. At least I was right. He went somewhere named Helena. But that's where Idris Elba was born, on the island of Elba.
And the way I always remember that is there's a fun palindrome. Napoleon was supposed to have said, Able was I ere I saw Elba. So
I'm not going to remember that, but I appreciate
it. That's so easy to remember. Thanks, Jeff.
So your fourth question in the round is in literature. The Wheel of Time series was originally penned by Robert Jordan and was intended to be a 6-volume series. He expanded to 11 books before dying during his planned finale of this 12th book. The series was picked up and completed by this famous fantasy author known for his own series, The Stormlight Archive.
We're going to take a guess and lock in because we don't know, but I'm just guessing a fantasy author, I think.
Have you heard of Wheel of Time?
It really just sounds like a prog rock album to me.
Yes. Yeah. I haven't heard of the Stormlight Archive or Wheel of Time, but that's a lot of books. I'm trying to think of fantasy authors who have like a prolific career.
I know. I really do enjoy saying the name Philip K. Dick. Like it's just a fun 3 words to say.
Yeah, I love Philip K. Dick, so.
But I'm sure that's wrong. I also just want people to read Octavia Butler if they haven't.
Ooh, that's good.
Even though I don't think that's the answer.
Let's go with that so more people know who that is. So Octavia Butler, we'll lock it in.
And Ken and I were thinking that this might be Patrick Rothfuss. So we said Rothfuss.
So originally I was going to ask a Patrick Rothfuss question and then I didn't. So I changed it to a different fantasy author. The answer is Brandon Sanderson.
That's right. Ooh. Brandon Sanderson.
All right. Well, let's hope this might be better for somebody, but may not be. So your next question in round one is in movies. Humphrey Bogart is a Hollywood icon and was even named the greatest male star of classic American cinema by AFI. He was in numerous films, but which was his only film where he won an Academy Award?
So, Neil, you're locked in, I take it.
I think so. Are you good with that?
Yep, I am.
Okay. So weren't we talking about this the other day, and I think Neil said he didn't win for African Queen, but then it turned out that he did?
That sounds right to me.
Okay, let's go with African Queen.
Yeah, I always mix up if he won for African Queen or Treasure of Sierra Madre, and I always go back and forth. And then luckily the question that we did get asked, it reminded me and hit me in the head. So we went with African Queen.
Yeah, so your correct answer is the African Queen.
Sweet. On the board.
He actually wasn't even nominated for Sierra Madre.
It's a shame.
Which was, I thought,
he sucked
a shame.
In it. I told Humphrey.
Oh, you could be John Huston? Oh, no, you're being Catherine Hepburn.
He's always Catherine Hepburn.
I'll be Bogey, sure. Give me some stilts. I'm a little short. If you ever see pictures of him with his shoes, they put huge lifts on him.
Yeah, platforms. Yeah,
yeah, with Lauren Bacall, because he was pretty short.
Huh. I'm learning something new every day.
Yeah. And I slapped him right across the face, I did.
I thought when you showed me the words African Queen on that piece of paper, you were just paying me a real nice compliment.
Ooh. It goes both ways. It's a title and a compliment.
I'll take it.
Isn't that the one where they all got like violently sick except for Hepburn?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, there's a good, there's some good movies that kind of chronicle that and behind the scenes things. Matt, what are we looking at with score here? I know it's pretty low.
Yes, it is pretty, well, not too bad. The BFFs are up 20-10, just edging out Santa's Butter currently.
All right. Well, we just haven't churned it enough yet, but it'll get there. Mm-hmm.
That's the dance we're doing. Okay, yeah. It's podcast. It's even,
but we're churning. Churning. This is like an SNL skit. It's like, we're churning. We're churning butter.
Her churn is much better. Than
it
yours.
It is much better.
I've been working on it.
I sort of see it as like the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
All right, number six.
Yeah, so number six is going to be, the category is this or that or that.
Okay.
He married Marilyn Monroe in 1956. His daughter is currently married to Daniel Day-Lewis. Who is this playwright of The Crucible?
You're good with that? Mm-hmm. We're locked in.
And we're saying Arthur Miller, Jeff?
Yep, I believe so.
Yeah, author of one of my favorite plays, kind of a downer, Death of a Salesman, would be Arthur Miller.
I didn't know any of that question until she said The Crucible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so my mom
I didn't know the part about Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, yeah, my mom is...
Wait, are we right first?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the answer is Arthur Miller.
Yeah, so my mom is obsessed with Marilyn Monroe, and ever since I was a kid, I saw everything about her, all her movies and stuff, and yeah, she married Arthur Miller, and that was a big deal, and...
How about Daniel Day-Lewis being married to his daughter?
Yeah. Do you have the original copy?
That's like the start of a joke.
It is, actually. You're right. He just wanted Arthur Miller to call him, like, all my son.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like a deep, stupid joke.
But not so much a joke,
number
but clever.
Seven.
A theater joke.
Matt's keeping us on track here. All right. Number seven is going to be in science. So, I don't know about you, but I always confuse bronze and brass. I now know that bronze is an alloy of copper and tin, whereas brass is the alloy of copper and zinc. There are other alloys that occur very commonly, but what is stainless steel an alloy of?
Yeah, we can lock in with that. I'm so clueless when it comes to this stuff.
I mean, there's no way that's right, but also... Maybe there's one small way.
Yeah, let's go with that, as long as you say it the British way.
Aluminium.
Yes.
And iron. I don't know. Did they say iron? That'd be terrible. I'm getting a thumbs down from across the room.
Yeah, we'll go aluminium. Now I'm saying it. Aluminum and iron.
Is that what we were thinking?
I think iron and titanium we're going to go with. Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Good with that.
So the answer is actually chromium and iron.
Chromium.
Isn't that a DJ band? Chromium? Isn't it? Yeah, right?
It's Chromio.
Chromio, sorry. Chromio.
But together, I guess as a plural, yeah. It would be chromium.
Yeah.
We're going to do a sports question. Your question is, what NFL player famously returned a fumble 66 yards to the wrong end zone?
Oh, sounds like something I would do.
I feel so bad for him right now.
Isn't there like a little... Pee-wee Pee-wee football video of the little toddler running it.
Yeah, there's one of those. And then I just saw one in high school. A defensive back got an interception and went the complete wrong way, and then his team had to tackle him down before he hit the end zone.
Why is that so sad to me?
I love the idea that his team is like, take him down.
He probably has done so many good things in his life, and that's the thing.
Yeah, right.
It's going to haunt him.
Right.
Jeff Cieslakin with whatever. I have nothing to
Yeah, add. I can't remember who did this, but I would like to talk about the Mark Sanchez butt fumble, so we're going to go Mark Sanchez.
We'll have to let Matt answer here, too, just for fun, but we didn't know, and as Jill pointed out, his last name sort of alludes to the fact that he could have done this, and we put Warren Sapp.
I don't know if Warren Sapp can run 66 yards.
Touche.
Do you know it, Matt?
Yeah, it's. I mean, if you don't know it, this is a tough one. I think it's Jim Marshall, and it happened in like a long time ago.
Yes. So your correct answer is Jim Marshall. All right. So your next question in round one is going to be in TV. On Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Captain Holt and his husband Kevin own an adorable dog. What is the dog's name? And for a bonus, what breed is the dog?
We're locked in on both.
Oh, my God. I know the breed.
Oh, good.
I think I know the breed. And now I can see the dog. I can see the dog doing dog things.
So I haven't seen the show. I'm getting to it because I like love the creator. But what breed do you think it is?
I think it's a corgi.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. And then you think the name is authoritative, like it's Mr. something?
Or like Professor something. Because they're a very like uptight, like straight-laced couple.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I feel as though maybe... God, I'm going to kick myself.
Well, corgis, they always talk about like them shaking their butts or whatever. So it'd be like Professor Behind or Professor like Bum or something.
Dr. Wiggles or something like that.
I like that. Yeah.
That is a very good name for a dog. I'm just going to say it because it sounds cute.
Let's do Dr. Wiggles and we'll go for the bonus point with the corgi.
All right. So I hope I'm being a excellent podcaster / genius here. And we said Cheddar, who's a Welsh corgi.
Cheddar, which is not authoritative. It's not even an authoritative cheese. You're absolutely right.
Yes, the dog's name is Cheddar, and they are specifically a Pembroke Welsh Corgi, but I wasn't going to be that annoying about it, but a Corgi, I'll take Corgi for the bonus.
Sweet.
How many bonus are we raking?
I was going to do 2 points.
2 points, all right. So take your two.
All right, we'll take the two.
We will.
We need it.
A rare 2 points Cheddar. In this game.
So your final question in round one is once again in food / drink. So, but this is food. Your question is bechamel, V2A. I will spell these out because I cannot speak French, even though I took 4 years of it. So bechamel, V2A, espagnol, and hollandaise and tomato are collectively known as what in traditional French cuisine? And Veloutée is V-E-L-O-U-T-E.
We're going to lock in over here so you guys can discuss.
So it's like the four main sauce flavor profiles.
Oh, is it?
I can't remember what they're called. Like the sauces of champions or something. I don't know. Let's go with that. Let's go the sauce of champions.
Okay.
Or the sauce base.
Sauce boss. Sauce.
We're going to go the sauce of champions.
Yeah, the unfinished Vonnegut book.
We went with the mother sauces. If Frank Zappa was a line cook, he would make the mothers of sauces.
All right. And your correct answer is mother sauces.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Nice job.
Well, at least I kind of knew what it was about.
Yeah, you're around the right area.
My mom's a champion anyways.
Yeah,
well, that's a nice thing to say.
If only you could get her to figure out how to listen to the podcast, she would hear that.
She is not a champion of technology. No. All right, Matt, let's get the recap.
All right, after round one, it looks like the BFFs are up 42 to 32 for Santa's butter, but it's anyone's game because we have 2 extra points for some reason.
All right, let's move on to the swing round.
Yes. So your swing round category is going to be in history. And the way it's going to work is I have a list of king or king consorts and a list of queens and or queen consorts. And I want you to match the king to the queen. So anybody who knows me understands my love of like medieval history. So this is going to be pretty, medieval Renaissance heavy.
Okay, so the kings will represent questions 1 through 10. Yes.
And then I'll give you a list of the queens, and I want you to match them.
Okay.
And this is
just
literally...
Just behead me right now.
Yeah, this is Ken's literal like kryptonite. Is anything to do with monarchy?
So number 1 is Henry VIII of England. 2 is Edward IV of England. 3 is Henry II of England. 4 is Louis XVI of France. 5 is George VI of England. 6 is Francis II of France. 6 is James I of England. 8 is Joffrey Plantagenet. 9 is Emperor Peter III. And 10 is Philip II of Spain. Yep, so your list of queens or queen consorts are Elizabeth Woodville, Mary I, Marie Antoinette, Elizabeth Bowes, Mary, Queen of Scots, Matilda, Catherine II, also known as the Great, Anne of Denmark, Eleanor of Aquitaine, and Catherine Howard.
As we're thinking about these answers, let's drop the trailer for the Beyoncé. So do you want to lead us in for this?
Yeah. What's it called again? It's called Making Beyoncé, and WBZ Podcast has had two kind of volumes of the Making series. They did Making Oprah and Making Obama. Okay. So this seemed like the next logical step. Mm-hmm. And so basically we're finding out about Beyoncé before she became Beyoncé. Yeah. You know, the pre-Destiny's Child Beyoncé, you know, little kid with big dreams and... her parents who had somehow even bigger dreams. And it's been really fun to dive into all of this, honestly. We find out a lot about her teachers and her contemporaries and this like unworldly work ethic that she's had since like the first grade.
All right, cool. Let's check out that trailer.
Beyoncé was born on September 4th, 1981. I'll never forget it.
Leave those bees alone, Beyoncé.
Beyoncé had the soul, that soul thing that that you just can't buy.
I told Tina and I told Matthew, this child can sing, Beyoncé can sing. And they said, yeah.
The winner is Beyoncé Knowles, female pop vocalist.
Beyoncé, people don't know, like, the way she was today is the way she was when she was little.
If we keep on performing, every time we get better and the stage fright just fades away.
And the Grammy goes to.
Goes to.
Do you want to do it?
You take one.
Okay.
Halo.
I'm Jill Hopkins, and on a new season of Making, the story of how the biggest name in modern music.
It's really rare when you find somebody that knows what they want and then knows how to hit the mark.
Became the biggest name in modern music. From WBEZ Chicago, Making Beyoncé. Coming soon. Subscribe now so you don't miss an episode.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, we are back from the swing round. All the answers are locked in. So let's get to these monarchs one more time, and we'll tell you who we thought they were married to.
Yes. So number 1 was Henry VIII of England.
Ken thought this was a Howard, so we said Catherine Howard.
We also went with Catherine Howard.
And the correct answer is Catherine Howard.
Once again, Six the Musical helping me out there.
Yeah, I learned a thing on this podcast.
All right, number two was Edward the Fourth of England.
We said Anne of Denmark.
All right, we didn't really know on this one. We kind of took a guess, and we said it was the great-great-great-grandmother of Jimmy Bose. So we went Elizabeth Bose.
The answer is Elizabeth Woodville.
There's actually a
miniseries on Stars that's based on Philip Gregory novel called The White Queen. It's all about her, and it's pretty good. So,
you had us there. I was so excited when you said Elizabeth.
Sorry. All right. Number three is Henry II of England.
We guessed Eleanor of Aquitaine.
So did we. And I think that's something I learned listening to this show.
Yep, the correct answer is Eleanor of Aquitaine.
That makes one of us.
I was going to say, I'm glad you learned it. I didn't. So.
Yeah, ours was a guess.
And number four is Louis XVI of France.
We said, let us have points, and we said Marie Antoinette.
And we said, actually did Kirsten not say Dunst. That, and we said Marie Antoinette.
Yep, the correct answer is Marie Antoinette. Number five is George VI of England.
We think this is Queen Elizabeth's mother, and I think she was also called Elizabeth, so we said Elizabeth Bowes.
We had the same logic, but we guessed the wrong Elizabeth. This is where we had Woodville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the correct answer is Elizabeth Bowes. And number six is Francis II of France.
Didn't know. We thought this sounded French, so we said Matilda.
Hmm. We didn't know either, so we just went with Catherine II.
Yeah, so it's actually Mary, Queen of Scots.
No.
This was her first husband. Yep, number seven is James I of England.
Well, that's going to make this one awkward, because I thought he was married to Mary, Queen of Scots.
Yeah, we shipped them too.
I wouldn't, because that's her son.
Oh, that's right. I knew they were close, but not in a way I thought.
Oh, back then, the lines were blurred. That's okay.
The answer here is Anne of Denmark.
Mm.
Number eight is Joffrey Plantagenet.
We said Mary One.
We went with, Mary One. Yeah.
This is actually Matilda. Mm. So this was in the 1100s. This is like the way back reach. So she is a claimant to the throne. She was like kind of like, you know, Lady Jane Grey, the Nine Days Queen, but she was like way before her. She overthrew her uncle, Stephen, and tried to take the throne, and it didn't go well. But her son, Henry II, did eventually take the throne. But that's Empress Matilda.
So is the 9 days queen sort of like the Britney Spears marriage of older year?
Yeah, only there was much more death. Mm. Yeah, she was very dead at the end of that 9 days. Mm. Number nine is Emperor Peter III.
We think he was from Russia, so we said Catherine the Great.
We gave him to Anne of Denmark.
Yep, the correct answer there is Catherine II or Catherine the Great. All right, and your last one, which is Philip II of Spain.
All right, mathematically, we have to get this one wrong, so we said Elizabeth Woodville.
Yes, and we thought Matilda was sort of an outlier of the names, and we thought it sounded kind of cool, so we went with Spain, so we went Philip II.
Yep, so this is actually Mary I. She was the actual Queen of England, Mary, Bloody Mary, same person. And then she married Philip of Spain. He came over and married her.
After the swing round now, BFFs are lengthening their lead over the butter right now. It's a 67-47, but still a close game.
Before we start the second round, just wanted to say thank you to Caitlin and Jill for supporting us on Patreon. We really appreciate your support over there and helping us keep the show growing and getting better and thriving. And Jeff, a lot of different perks people can get from Patreon itself, but also from our website and our merchandise. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I think you covered it.
I did.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've had a lot of new patrons lately, so we hope they're all out there enjoying those bonus episodes and all the other things that come along with being a Patreon member.
Yes, that's correct, Matt. There's a lot of bonus episodes, some darker than others, some after dark episodes, but we try to split trivia and our personality you don't get to hear on the show on those.
We did a Know Your Boo.
Did a Know Your Boo. We did
you say we get to split our personalities?
Did I? Oh, maybe. Oh, no, I said we split between trivia and personality.
Okay.
Yes. But yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff over there. And for those people at the Intercontinental Champion level, all of you should have gotten your boxes, which are choose your own character boxes from all of us that we curate ourselves. And those of you who have posters, I hope you're enjoying them and hanging them up, or if you're burning them, at least videotaping it and hashtagging us on Twitter. So thank you.
Round two, question one is in pop culture.
Yay.
A record previously held by Kylie Jenner, a picture of this object became the most liked photo ever on Instagram.
I really don't know.
Or a cat.
Let's say some lip gloss.
Okay.
Cats are not objects, Jeff.
So my lip gloss be cool, my lip gloss be popping. Anyone?
Little Mama.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Little Mama.
I hear you.
Matt got it too. I don't know what the object would be.
I remember this happening, and I remember it being like a very like innocuous thing, like just your everyday object that was like, just like this picture for the hell of it. It was so dumb that it went in one ear and right out the other.
Potato salad guy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Maybe we just go stapler because it's a nice reference to Office Space, too.
Like my stapler.
We're going to put you in the basement, okay? Yeah, we're going to go stapler.
Yeah, so the answer is actually a picture of an egg.
An egg.
An egg. Oh.
Mm.
Yeah, so question number two in round two is going to be is a tri-bond.
Okay.
So I'm going to name three actors or actresses, and I want you to name the movie they all starred in together. So your actors are Leonardo DiCaprio, Martin Sheen, and Christopher Walken.
We're good.
We're locked in over here. If that's okay, Jill.
Yeah.
So Ken and I think this is Catch Me If You Can.
Two mice in a bucket of cream. I'm not going to do the whole speech, but yes, Catch Me If You Can.
Did they churn some butter?
Churning it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Martin Sheen is Amy Adams' dad or something.
The answer is Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. He's the one to get some the lawyer job.
That's right. Okay.
Do you concur?
Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio literally passed the bar for that movie. So
I concur.
Thank you. Ken got it.
I'm not giving it to you.
All right. Your next question in the round is in music. A gold record is awarded today for artists that sell 500,000 units. Today, many people go double platinum, but who was the first person to earn a RIAA certified gold record for his song, Catch a Falling Star?
I really don't know this one. So
this is one I've
heard.
It's
up to you, Jeff.
I don't remember it. It is something that should be in my brain somewhere, but I'm not getting.
Great record, Dewey.
Well, you know, you go to platinum and you go double platinum, there's triple platinum and there's quadruple platinum, right?
I've never heard Catch a Falling Star. Yeah, I mean, that'd be a safe bet.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't feel good to my heart.
It doesn't feel good to my heart either. Maybe we should just go with it, though. It's a safe one.
Should we just throw an Elvis out? Lucky sure. Elvis?
Yeah.
We also locked in with Elvis.
The answer is Perry Como. It was 1958.
Perry Como.
I think I knew what you were saying when you said it didn't feel good in your heart. So I picked up on that a little.
But I'm glad that that missing that question didn't cost me any like street cred or anything that. I'm still good out in the hood.
Yeah, right.
Nobody's putting you on blast for missing a Perry Como question.
She sold out, man.
All right, your next category is in TV. The Dublin Murders is a series that is set to premiere on Starz, actually today. It is based on the Dublin Murder Squad book series by this well-known mystery writer, known for her New York Times bestselling books, In the Woods and The Likeness.
I don't know. I doubt it's her, but I mean, Agatha Christie is one of the most famous mystery writers.
Fine. I figured it was more contemporary, but let's do it.
Done.
Yeah, I'm not sure on this one. What did you write down? You said is that Mary with three names?
Mary three names. Good old Mary three names. I don't know. I'm thinking of, my brain is thinking contemporary authors of the mystery genre. Otherwise, it would be like, I'm thinking Agatha Christie, but like a modern day
right.
Agatha Christie.
I've heard of the series.
Mary Stuart Masterson is not right, but like it, no. Like it wants to, it's just like Mary something something.
Elizabeth Wollstonecraft.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah, right.
Mary J. Blige.
Mary J. Blige. Mary Catherine Gallagher.
Yeah, Mary Stuart Masterson.
Yeah, that's fine. Maybe she became an author after all the John Hughes movies.
Who knows?
And we're going with Agatha Christie.
Yep, so my sneaky literature question that I put in a TV category, the answer is Tana French.
Oh.
It is a contemporary author. She has a bunch of books out there, but she mainly writes about Dublin murders.
Now, she's not related to Queer Eye's Tan France. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
Not French Stewart either? No.
I do love the French tuck, though.
Do you like the French tuck?
French tuck.
Yeah.
I think he uses it just a little too much, but I appreciate the French tuck.
It fixes any wardrobe issue.
All right. Your next category is sports. Also known as the Triple Crown of Cycling, the Grand Tour is made up of three stage cycling races. The Tour de France is arguably the most famous of these races, but name either one of the other two.
Tour de Forest Preserve.
That's the Tan de France.
Yeah, let's go with that.
The Tan de France.
We're going to go with the Tan de France.
with that really difficult turn of the French tuck.
That's what they call it, yeah.
So they went. I think there's one in Spain.
I was thinking something like Tour de España.
I seriously was going to say Tour de España or Tour de España.
Let's go.
Just want to go for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What would Antonio think of that?
Well, you get on the bikes and you go around the circles and then your nose gets congested and you have flones.
Oh my God.
And join me every week on NPR.
All right, is everybody locked in?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We're the Tan de France and you're the
Tour de España.
Yes, so although close, Neil, it is not Tour de España because Tour de is French. So you got to go the Vuelta a España, which is the Tour of Spain, or the Giro d'Italia, which is the Tour of Italy.
We are close. Good effort. We're close.
I like where your head's at, though, Neil.
Yeah.
Seems like all those places have too much elevation to bike, so.
Yeah, where's all the...
That's the challenge.
Sounds tough.
All the breathing
tour
problems.
Tour to Nebraska.
Too difficult.
Yeah, right.
Tour to Iowa City is
I'm
not quite
the tour
as...
Kansas
tour to Florida. Just flat terrain the whole time.
Just got to avoid the gators.
Matt, what are we looking like after five here in the second round?
After five, you've each gained 10 points. It is now 77 to 57.
All right.
So your next question is in geography. With eruptions dating back to 1500 BC, what is the world's oldest active volcano?
We'll lock in over here. We just kind of took a guess.
Okay.
So what were you thinking, Ken?
I put Mount St. Helens, but I really don't know at all.
What's the famous one in Italy?
Dante's Peak?
Yeah, Dante's Peak, yeah. Was it Vesuvius that erupted famously?
Yeah, I don't know if it's active.
I don't think so. That's what one I was trying to get out of my head. We can go Mount St. Helens.
Okay, that's what we'll do.
Do you think volcanoes go to the doctor and the doctor's like, are you active?
Oh my God.
Sorry. We both wrote down the same thing. These questions always really bug me in a bad way, but just I can never get them because all I think of is movies, and every movie that has volcanoes always says it's the oldest active volcano ever, and they always change the name, so I never can remember. But yeah, we said
Mount St. Helens.
Mount St. Helens, yeah.
Yeah, so this one is actually a super volcano that is, or a stratovolcano, whatever you want to call it. It's a stratovolcano. In Italy, but it is actually not Vesuvius. It's called Mount Etna.
Oh.
It's off the coast of Sicily. And this next category is in TV. So Murder, She Wrote was a TV show about murder mystery author J.B. Fletcher. She lives in this small town in Maine with a crazy high murder rate.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this Can is you nasty, remember it? I think.
Murder Hollow.
Stab City.
Stab. Every week we come to Stab City.
We expect different results. She found the right town for it.
Yeah. I don't know. I I'm going to, whatever you want to write down, I'm good with, because I do not
know. Bangor is as good as anything.
Okay.
They could have called the show Murder, She Bangored, and that would have been a whole different kind of.
That'd be a Cinemax special.
Starring Sharon Stone.
I don't even think it's a real town in Maine, but I can't remember the name
New
of it.
Newcastle.
I mean, I don't mind Castle Rock. It's something weird like
I
that.
I said Newcastle.
Newcastle it is?
Newcastle.
Yep. So the answer is Cabot Cove. It is a fictional town in Maine.
That's right.
All right. Your next category is history. Though awarded posthumously, he is the only president to ever be awarded the Medal of Honor. This was bestowed upon him because of his famous charge up a hill.
You just want to go with that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So probably not Washington.
Who was at Bunker Hill?
Probably not Washington.
Fair enough.
Jackson.
Harrison fought. Grant was a general.
Yeah, I wrote Harrison too. Kennedy, though he was a Navyman.
Yeah, I don't think he'd have done that. So Ike was really never on the field.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, well, maybe at one point.
Well, yeah, he was in, I think, North Africa.
Okay, so what do you think about?
Did Grant lead a charge in the Civil War, possibly?
Let's go with Grant.
I mean, we're talking out our asses, but we'll go Grant.
I was going to talk to you about this, but I have no knowledge of it. I think when we were in Boston for Geek Bowl, is it Bunker Hill that we visited? It had that big light statue. Yeah, and I remember we read all the stuff there in the freezing cold, and I can't remember what person was on the
But if you recall, it was actually Breed's Hill.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. But we both wrote down Teddy Roosevelt right away because we figured he would do something
famous
like that.
For the Battle of Bunker Hill.
That's right.
Oh. So yeah, that's what we went with.
Yeah, so your correct answer is Teddy Roosevelt.
Ooh. Yeah.
Nice.
And this was for his charge up San Juan Hill.
Because I can picture him in like his mustache and his old like khaki jacket and like a sword. Just
Spanish being all toxic.
Yeah. Yeah, but like getting the job done.
Yeah. With his toxic masculinity.
The other Roosevelt didn't charge up any hills.
No.
Not
Come
any
on,
steep
man.
Ones.
The man had polio. Come on.
That was the Spanish-American War then?
Yeah.
Yep. And your second to last question in the round is in science. When a molecule has an asymmetric carbon center, this property can occur. It is also referred to as a right-hand or left-hand molecules or non-superimposable molecules. What is the name of this property?
Let's just go with that. That's better than I came up with.
Yeah, chemistry failed me as well. So I put pH scale. What do you think, Jeff?
I don't think so. I'm trying to think of what an asymmetrical...
Not ions.
I mean, it could be polarized, maybe. I mean, if it's got... If it's asymmetrical, it's possible it's polarized.
Okay,
I don't know.
Let's say that. Let's say polarization.
We said in the same vein, magnetism.
Yeah. So the property is actually called chirality or chiral molecules. Something I remember learning in, this was in college chemistry, but freshman year. So, but it's all about how like similar to your right hand, left hand, they look like exact copies, but they're actually opposite because of the asymmetric center.
Okay.
So, all right, your final question of the round is in art. What art movement developed in the early 18th century as a reaction against the grandeur and symmetry and strict regulations of the Baroque period? This movement is characterized by ornate light-colored works depicting love and nature. What is the movement?
Okay, we're going to lock in.
I don't know. What do you think? Impressionism, I guess? Because that would be Impressionism would be... like flower lilies, but it also could be people in love.
Yeah,
I guess
ballerinas and whatnot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll go impressionism.
Yeah, we said the same thing. If you're kind of breaking from strict rules and you're just kind of getting an impression of what you're looking at and trying to paint that, I'm going with impressionism.
Yep. So the correct answer here is actually Rococo.
Oh, I've gotten like 10 questions wrong about Rococo so many times.
You're a pretty good impressionist, right, Neil?
Not as good. I'm good from far away. Not up close.
That's a good art joke. I like that one.
All right, Matt, looks like that ended the second round in regulation. So how are we looking going into the final round?
All right, the scores going into the final round is BFFF. The extra F stands for first place right now. They have 77 points. Santa's Butter right behind at 67, anyone's game.
And Caitlin, what are our categories today?
So along the same lines of what we were talking about before when I was introduced about doing a half Ironman, I have a theme running through these.
Okay.
So your first category is swim. Second category is bike. Third category is run. Fourth category is beer. And fifth category is sleep.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Okay, all the wagers are now in, so let's get the questions and wrap this game up.
All right, your first question is in the category swim. Otitis externa, I will spell it for you, has been known to affect many a swimmer since you are submerged a lot during practices and swim meets. What part of the body does otitis externa affect? That's O-T-I-T-I-S, and externa is E-X-T-E-R-N-A. Question number two in the category of bike. In a traditional set of bicycle playing cards, which is the only queen in the deck that faces to the right? Question number three is in the category run. The plot of the movie Chicken Run centers around a band of chickens who see a rooster named Rocky as their only hope to escape a farm where the owners are trying to turn them into chicken pies. The movie was released in 2000 as a joint between DreamWorks and the British studio Aardman Animations. Who is Aardman Animations is more well known for what similarly animated characters? Question number four is category beer. Some of the most well-known draft horses are the Budweiser Clydesdales. Their breed is only the second largest on average, measuring 16.1 to 18 hands, or 5.3 feet to 6 feet. The largest breed measures 17 to 19 hands, although has been known to reach 21.2 hands, which is about 7.18 feet. That's way larger than a hobbit. What is this large breed of horse? All right, and your final question is in sleep. Most people have heard of REM sleep, which is a unique phase of sleep in mammals and birds. But what does REM stand for?
Okay, we'll mull these over and we'll be back with our answers. Okay, all the answers are locked in. So let's go ahead and get the questions one more time. We'll find out how it all shakes out.
Question one in the category swim was, Otitis externa has been known to affect many a swimmer. Since you are submerged a lot during practices and swim meets, what body part does otitis externa affect?
We wagered 10 here, and we think this is the skin because we think you're talking about the pruny fingers and toes.
Oh. We went with ears.
4 or 5.
The correct answer is ears.
Nice. Mm.
It's known as swimmer's ear.
Because I have a mild case of tinnitus, and I was looking into that otitious word. Maybe they have the same.
Yeah, we were looking at the externa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your second category is in bike. And the question is, in a traditional set of bicycle playing cards, which is the only queen in the deck that faces to the right?
For another 10, we figure the queen of hearts is usually the special exception. So, hearts.
Yeah, we wagered 0, and we weren't sure, but we both wrote down spade. So, queen of spades.
Your answer is queen of spades.
Oh, we're getting killed. What the hell?
Should have wagered.
We should have.
All right, and your third question in the category run. The plot of the movie Chicken Run centers on a band of chickens who see a rooster named Rocky as their only hope to escape the farm where their owners would prepare them into chicken pies. The movie was released in 2000 as a joint between DreamWorks and British studio Aardman Animations, who is more well known for what similarly animated characters?
All right, we started disastrously, but we're pretty sure on this one that it's Wallace and Gromit.
We also said Wallace and Gromit.
For 10.
For 5 over here?
Yeah.
Yep, the correct answer is Wallace and Gromit.
I was hoping you were going to say it about our grammar school. Our teacher, maybe not you, our English teacher, anytime we had a break, she'd always put on Wallace and Gromit.
Who?
We'll talk about it later. But yes, I thought I was betting them that you were going to go on and go back in grammar school.
No, I mean, I remember watching it as a kid.
Oh, okay.
All right. And your fourth question in the final is in the category beer. Some of the most well-known draft horses are the Budweiser Clydesdales. Their breed is only the second largest on average, measuring 16.1 to 18 hands. The largest breed measures about 17 to 19 hands, but is known to reach 21.2 hands. That's way larger than a hobbit. What is this large breed of horse?
Okay, for another 10 points. Red Dead Redemption 2 did not help me here. We thought that when you say hobbit, you were saying Shire would be in the title somewhere. Jeff said his uncle, was it?
Yeah, my great-uncle. Yeah, okay. he raised Belgians, so I thought those were bigger than Clydesdales.
So we said the Belgian Shire.
It's a pretty cool name. We wagered 10.
It's my new band coming out, Belgian Shire.
We were thinking, as long as you're barefoot, we were thinking that that your beer knowledge, Jill, would help us here, but...
Did not.
We kind of just went through Lord of the Rings. I don't know much about Lord of the Rings. We said, you know, Gandalf the Grey, maybe it's a gray-type horse, something gray. We went through all the hobbits' names, and we said, what's bigger than a hobbit? Aragorn was bigger than a hobbit, and Aragorn sounds like a really badass horse. So that's what we went with.
Yeah, so your correct answer is Shire. I am going to give it to you guys, even though Belgian is a separate horse, Belgian Shire, I'll be lenient and give you the points there.
Thank you.
Because it's just called a Shire horse. Okay.
It is very close going into this last question, just so you guys know.
Okay.
All right, and your final question is in the category sleep. Most people have heard of REM sleep, which is a unique phase of sleep in mammals and birds. What does REM stand for?
All right, for our last 10 points, rapid eye movement.
You had 5 points in rapid eye movement.
Yep, the correct answer is rapid eye movement.
All right, Matt, how are these scores looking?
All right, after adding it all up, it looks like the extra F and BFFFS is actually finishing strong. They finished with an extra 30 points down the stretch with 87, just 72 to Santa's butter. So Jeff and Ken are today's cream of the crop.
The cream of the crop!
All right. Good game.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That was a lot of fun.
That was so fun.
Yeah, good game.
Oh, my gosh.
Got real close there at the end.
It did.
Yeah.
Maybe we should call it a draw because of that Belgian thing. What do you think, Neil?
Oh, it would have been closer.
Should we call it a draw?
Yeah, let's call it a draw.
First ever draw.
You would have lost, actually.
We would have.
We still would not have.
But let's call it a draw. Everyone's the cream of the crop today.
Yeah, everyone's the cream of the crop.
Yay.
Caitlin for her questions. Jill for joining us.
Yes, thanks so much.
I had so much fun, Caitlin. It was such a fun game. It was nice to meet you.
Oh, thanks. Nice to meet you too.
So, Jill, where can people find you and how can they listen to you?
They can follow me on all the socials at Jill Hopkins, J-I-L-L-H-O-P-K-I-N-S. They can visit Vocalo, V-O-C-A-L-O.org every Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. to hear The Morning Amp. And WBEZ's podcast series, Making Beyonce, will be available everywhere by the time this drops. And you can go to WBEZ.org to hear that.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We're so happy to have you reach out to us on Twitter, and you have four new fans of yours, so that's great. We can't wait to hear more.
You guys.
And Caitlin, thank you also for writing this awesome game. Like we said, even though we didn't get a lot of them right, we learned some great things. So what else can you tell us about what's going on with your life, or is there anything you'd like to plug?
I'm in the Arlington, Virginia area, and I do host trivia where I don't write the questions, but I do host it in Fairfax, Virginia on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at Ornery Brewery. So if anybody's in the area, please come out and see me.
All right. Ornery Brewery, the only brewery that Jeff will go to. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Caitlin, for those. And thank you both for your Patreon support. We always say it means a lot because it does, but it really does. It means so much. So thank you very much for that. And Matt, any last words there out in L.A.?
No, I don't get last words. I'm good.
All right. We'll leave those to Lawrence O'Donnell. For Matt, Ken, Jeff, Jill, and Caitlin, my name is Neil, and that was Triviality. Hey, as the Olsen twins taught us, it takes two.
Yeah. I like pizza.
That video never gets old.
Give me pizza.
It's so disturbing.